so damn cold, my girlfriend murmurs, shivering. And I unwrap my scarf from my neck and chuck it onto her shoulders. Hey, no, she replies, though she's smiling. Now you'll just get cold. I don't get cold, I lie as we walk together towards the factory. The factory is long abandoned, a massive half-collapsed monolith out here in the scrublands. The area around us is covered in snow, and our shadows are long and dark beneath the orange-white glow of the lone, still operational streetlight. It isn't nighttime, not quite yet, but the day is dark and gloomy. There's no one else around, and the snow ahead is unbroken with any footprints. Do you think the rumors are true? I ask her, grabbing her shoulders and making a jump. She makes a noise at me and pushes me away. Well, duh, of course they're true. They have to be. We wouldn't be exploring a non-haunted building now, would we? That would be boring. The entrance to the factory approaches. The glass is smashed in one of its outer doors, and the other is covered with wooden boards, now well graffitied. There's a crude marionette spray-painted in white, and an ominous cryptic, "Don't get strong" warning scrawled beneath it in black. "Don't get strong," I whisper creepily into Laura's ear, and she laughs and pushes me away for a second time. Her laughter fades as we step up to the factory's door, the gates to the unknown. "Well," I say, "are you ready to go in?" "Yeah," she replies, glancing behind her. "Yeah, let's do this." So, in we go. I grab the handle and grunt with a strain, but am able to force it open about a foot, and we squeeze our way through the gap and into the shadows. The wintry breeze becomes a steady, ongoing backing rumble as we push steadily into the hallway and through further, broken doorways. There are portraits hung up here in the lobby, completely dusted over and faded, and only the faintest silhouettes are still visible. We take some time to admire them, or what's left of them, to try and decipher what they might once have depicted. One of these faded silhouettes looks kind of like a man, or a person at least, with their arms outstretched. Another looks like a spool of string. I try to rub away some of the layers of grime and dust, but not much else is revealed. "This is so creepy," Laura murmurs. "What do you think they used to make here?" "No idea," I reply as we step through the lobby and into the main room of the factory's ground floor. Weird how this place still hasn't been properly emptied though, given how long it's been here for. All around us are curious, slumbering machines. Unusual and unrecognizable, dark and rusted cogs and gears, pistons, and more of those layers upon layers of dust. A shiver of shock runs through me, and I start an alarm as I notice a group of pale creatures in the corner, watching us silently. But they're only mannequins, faceless and harmless. A nervous laugh escapes my throat. Laura follows my line of sight and pushes me gently. "Those things over there didn't scare you, did they, huh?" I shake my head at her, and she laughs too. "This place is crazy though," I murmur as we walk around, our feet kicking up small but thick clouds of dust with every step. Up and across the walls is more of that disturbing graffiti. It might have looked somewhat amusing from the outside, scrawled onto the boarded up door, but in here, in amongst the shadows and illuminated in the glow of our phone lights, it looks downright nightmarish. Large, sinister marionettes, painted crudely in faded black, eyes wide and staring, and twisted grins painted in bleach bone white, stare out from the darkness. Some of these puppets have puppets of their own, hung from strings from the creature's fingertips. We don't laugh about it now. Laura reaches out for my hand and clenches it tightly. "Come on," she says, "let's keep exploring." And so we do. Past rows of broken, intertwined machinery and another gaggle of mannequins, this group falling clumsily to the ground, we slide a rusted and crumbling chain from a set of peeling double doors. Creaking it open and walking through reveals a section of the factory in a state of greater disrepair than the previous. A section of the roof has caved in, and through the holes in the ceiling are revealed dark, narrow ventilation corridors and thin streams of grey, silvery light. A light snowfall drifts in through some of these cracks, and the floor and the machinery ahead are all dusted with a thin layer of white. "This is so damn cool," I say to her. "What do you think? The whole atmosphere is so creepy." My words are cut short as something shifts up ahead. With a little cloud of dust, a wooden plank slides from a pile of debris and down to the snow-lined floor with a soft clatter. We stare at the debris, Laura and I, in dead silence. Silence that is shortly broken by a quiet voice in the gloom. "Nothing to worry about. Hey guys." My blood chills as a shadowy figure emerges from behind the wreckage, though I try to rationalize as I realize that it's just some guy. He's holding a camera, and his hand lifts in a wave. I feel my girlfriend's palpable relief as a grip on my hand loosens considerably. "Hey," I call out to him. He's a weedy looking guy, pale and slight, and incuriously he has two dark strips painted just above and below each of his eyes, right up across the eyelids. "How's it going?" he asks as he clumsily steps closer. He stumbles over an outstretched plank and crashes right towards us. "Oh!" Laura catches him, and I manage to grab hold of his camera before it drops to the ground. "Damn, sorry," he mumbles as he retracts from Laura's grip, and he takes back his camera. He nods to us as he slips the strap back over his neck. "Thanks. So, didn't mean to frighten you. I come here sometimes. Take pictures." He raises the camera again, before letting it hang down against his chest. "What are you guys up to then? Exploring?" "Yeah," I reply. "Nice to meet you, man. My name's Gary. This is Laura." "Hey," she says. "Hi," says the guy. "My name is Cordes." "Cordes?" He nods. "It's French. Listen, you guys really should be careful in here, you know. This isn't like other urban exploration places. Believe me." A gesture to his eyes. "What's the deal with the face paint?" He nods solemnly. "Reduces glare for the camera flashes, lets you see better in the dark. Crucial, really, in the factory. You guys want some? It helps." I watch with curiosity as he reaches into his pocket for a small dish of black skin paint. He cracks it open and rubs some on his fingers. And then, before even waiting for permission, he reaches towards Laura's face. He takes a step back. No thanks. She looks over to me awkwardly. I'm not sure what to make of this guy, but I'm not taking any chances. Maybe he's right. It probably is better if we just leave. It was nice to meet you, Cordes, but you're probably right. Maybe we should just go. Cordes' eyes suddenly light right up. They're pale blue and appear even more striking when contrasted with the dark paint all around them. He isn't looking at us, though. He's looking between us. He jumps suddenly and sprints in front of us. He stares out into the darkness. Something's wrong. "Get back," he mutters, then a little louder. "Both of you, get back." He half turns and pushes Laura's shoulder, and she's forced into a step back. He shoots me a glare as I do likewise. "What the hell?" I hiss, but he waves me silent. We watch, our breathing suddenly loud as our ears tune in to the secretive sounds of the factory. And a shadow creeps through the darkness ahead, right through the open doorway that Laura and I left behind us. "Jesus," I mutter, and Laura starts to quietly swear under her breath. The shadowed thing becomes clearer as it steps further into the light, and the only way I can think to describe it is as a giant rat, or as something wearing a rat skin, stretched grotesquely across an animal far too big for its body. It's horrific. "Damn! Oh God!" Laura screams as panic starts to set in. As I stagger backwards and start fumbling around for an item to use as a weapon, Cordes steps calmly forwards and raises his camera. With a well-aimed focus, the camera flashes a bright white glare, one that reflects in the monster's eyes, it lets out a screech and stumbles into a pile of bricks. Quick as the flash on his camera, Cordes leaps forward and grabs the nearest brick, swinging it down hard under the creature's head. With a spurt of black fluid and a distasteful crunch, the thing releases one last screech and lays still. There is a moment of silent confusion and horror. Laura and I are crouched together, wide-eyed, and Cordes drops the brick to the ground with a thunk. He grabs the creature's tail and starts to drag it across the floor, towards one of the narrow streams of silver light coming through from the ceiling. Cordes, I call over to him. Cordes, what the hell are you doing? But he doesn't answer me until the bulk of the monster is within the light. Then he drops the tail and catches his breath. Look, he says, pointing to the rat. Think on what you've seen, of the graffiti, and really look at this thing here. Look at it. Blood pumping, I do so. I squint at the dead thing caught in the light, and it's as if something suddenly triggers in my brain. A switch is flicked, and I see the creature for what it truly is. In the space of a second, it goes from looking like a massive, deceased, and disgusting rat to a puppet. I see the joints in its necks, in its jaws. I see the mechanisms that have its legs affixed to its now strikingly artificial looking body. And its eyes. Its eyes don't look real anymore. They are fakes, shiny stones implanted into a man-made skull. A marionette. What the hell is this? I ask Cordes in a raspy voice, and he grins humorlessly. I'm here all the time, he whispers in the darkness as the snow falls through the ceiling. I catch glimpses of it sometimes. The puppet master, like a cloud hanging thick in the air, woven into the factory's shadows. He taps the camera, and I'm gonna find him. I start slowly but steadily backing away, keeping a tight hold of Laura as I do so. Right, I reply. That's great, man, really, but I think we're going to be going now. Are you sure? He asks, cocking his head. The puppeteer loves guests. His voice is soft, but it carries far. I might be able to find him tonight. You'd be more than welcome to accompany me. Laura looks between us. I think we're good, Cordes. Her voice shakes. Thank you, though. And with that, we turn. And we run. Not past Cordes and back through the rat door, but across the length of the hall behind us, past the debris and the machinery. Hey, Cordes calls after us. Hey, wait! But we do not. We race round a corner and down a pipelined, cobwebbed corridor in the darkness. A bleak, lightless, old emergency exit sign, now more grey than green, promises a way out, and we follow it through a room in the factory's side. The place is full of mannequins. Mannequins and marionettes. Most are featureless and formless, but terrible pinpricks of fear stab into me every time I catch a glimpse of a face amongst the wreckage. A carved smile or leer, wide and soulless eyes, glittering in the dark, but only on the surface. There is no light behind them. The way out is blocked by rubble, but an adjacent hall is where we push through next, kicking our way through piles of twisted puppets. It's as I'm running through a collection of wooden and silicon animals, reptiles mostly, that the floor beneath me simply gives completely away. The rotted wood beneath my feet collapses with my footfall, and down I go in a cloud of dust and chippings and shavings of glass and concrete. Gary! Laura calls from above me in panic as I fly through the darkness, only to land with a crunch and a thud on a pile of further marionettes. Ah, I groan, rolling to the side and shielding my face from falling splinters. Gary? Laura calls down again. Are you okay? I cough, and a little storm of dust billows out from around my face. I cough some more, then raise my head to the pale light filtering in through the hole in my new ceiling. Yeah, I call up. I'm alright, Laura. Just make it out, okay? Just get out and wait for me at the car. Gary, it's alright, okay? Just go. I'll come meet you outside. Don't wait up. And after a moment of hesitation, she does so, and she vanishes from sight. I clear my throat and take in my surroundings, clambering to my feet. The hectic panic of a few moments ago gives way to a cool sense of general unease. I try to steady my heartbeat as my eyes adjust to the dark. Okay, no need to freak out. Think rationally and just find a way out. Don't rush, just be efficient and cautious, I mutter to myself as I stumble through the shadows as shapes start to form before my eyes. Pipes, posters, and puppets. I kick up against a pile of heads, and one of them drops and rolls around in an arc right in front of me. I don't know what it's supposed to be. It doesn't look human, at least not in this light, nor is it any animal I recognize. I shiver and step past it, round a corner and into a wider room. There's some light in here, faint but present. A dim, flickering orange from an old and poorly wired LED by a wooden workbench. Dusty blueprints are plastered across the walls. And I jump in terror at the sight of a figure in the corner of the room. Christ, I splutter, only to force myself back to a state of calm as I realize it's, quite obviously, just another marionette strung up from the ceiling. Its strings are incredibly thin, almost invisible, but for the orange light caught reflecting the wire. This one doesn't look human either. It's a lanky, lumbering thing, skinny, just about 7 feet tall. Its feet hang maybe a couple of inches above the floor, and its head lolls at an angle. The marionette's head is eyeless, and its neck is longer than I feel it should be. Its mouth takes up a good half of its face, if it can even be called a face at all. Its jaw hangs open to reveal a void within, a void lined with red-black shards for teeth. I hate it. The flickering light plays tricks with my mind. It gives the impression that the creature in the corner is twitching. I think on the monstrous rat that we saw upstairs. Don't you dare, I mutter quietly, edging around the side of the room towards the doorway in the opposite corner. Don't you dare move. Quietly, I creep, steadily making my way down the length of the room. I rest a hand on the desk behind me to steady myself, using it as a support as I not trip or stumble. And the creature waits in the corner. The monstrous marionette, a nightmare in the flickering shadows. Please, I think desperately, please, just don't move. And as I finally reach the doorway, I lift my hand from the desk, only for it to tip back to its original position with a thunk and a thud. I cringe and stop with petrified terror as the sound of a pencil rolling across the wood reverberates through the room. There's a pause, and then a gentle clattering and tinkling as it lands on the concrete below. And in response, the head of the marionette creaks around in the darkness. I am stuck where I stand, petrified and useless as the strings of the nightmare start to twitch and stretch. The thing swings gently from left to right, and with another sickening creak, it drops from its hanging position to the ground, its artificial feet flat on the ground below. I watch as it slowly raises its eyeless head to face in my exact direction. And its jaw cracks. I do not run. The creature is clearly aware of my presence, but I do not know if it can see me. With my eyes wide and breath held, I step silently out of the room. I do not know how I do this, as I do not recall issuing the command to my legs, but with caution I didn't even know was possible, I step through the shadows of the doorway and down the adjacent corridor, not daring to speed up, but also determined to keep moving. A noise, the sound of something like a low growl or a cough mixed with the grinding of metal cogs, echoes from the room behind, and it sends a river of ice shooting through my blood. I try to move a little faster, and one of my feet comes down too hard onto a lone wooden spool. It rattles out and away and taps up against the wall, and the sound of creaking behind me grows louder. My constitution breaks. I abandon my attempts at silence and power through the corridors, looking for a door, a staircase, for something, anything. I swear to myself repeatedly as I pass through shadow and concrete and rotted wood. I pass beneath an ancient red light, a disturbing beacon, or perhaps a warning in the dark. The corridor ahead is long and narrow, and I race down it as fast as I can. A vision of mechanical arms enters into my mind, of hands breaking through the walls and reaching out for me, grabbing at my clothes. But mercifully, this remains just a vision. As for the creature, however, at the end of the corridor, before a sharp turn down another, I look back behind me into the shadow. Stumbling after me, an illuminated red beneath the lone, hanging light, is the twisted marionette. It takes up the entire corridor and shambles as fast as it can, scraping against the corridor and grinding its inner cogs. It rumbles out a low, hungry shriek and reaches out for me. I catch further glimpses of the strings, but I cannot tell for the life of me what they could possibly connect to. I don't waste time looking. "Help!" I cry out into the unknown as I do my best to escape. "For goodness sake, someone, Cordes, help me, please!" This corridor ends in a final room. The room is shadowed, and at the far end is a lone, locked wooden door. Broken puppets lay all around and up against the wall. Some are animals, some are creatures I do not recognize, some have the rough appearance of children. My heart pounds, and the following thing draws closer. That sound of scraping on concrete, of heavy, shambling steps, grows steadily louder and louder. I sprint the length of the room and try the door. Locked. Damn it, damn it, damn it. I try it again. I half-heartedly look around for a key, but I can barely focus. I can hardly think. There are no key hooks, nothing on the desk. I grab hold of the desk drawers and yank them open. They are filled with papers, with glue guns and cartridges, pens, spools of string and dust. Always dust, but no keys. The scraping grows louder. I cast a terrified look to the doorway to the corridor. Any second now, a monstrous shadow is going to clamber through. Any second. I rush to the door and plant a foot in the rubble. And with my other, I kick out as hard as I can, right at the spot beneath the handle. The door groans and shivers, but hardly budges. I try it again, kicking as hard as I can. Again, it groans, and dust rains down from the hinges, but the door stands firm. The sound of the scraping grows louder. I can hear its footsteps clearly now, heavy against the floor. I can hear the strangled, desperate breaths from its monstrous jaws. I shoot a look behind me and can see the edges of its shadow creep into view. "Come on!" I scream and kick as hard as I can. Once, twice, a third time. But the door does not break, and the lock holds firm. I turn and press my back up against the door, struck with terror as the shuffling marionette edges into the view through the doorway. It is a tall and twisted thing, and it jerks unnaturally as it moves. Its jaw falls open, and dark fluid leaks from beneath its narrow teeth. Something lolls around in that horrific mouth, and it suddenly speeds up. I don't know how it knows where I am, but it clearly does. It strides towards me from the darkness. The sound of its hunger grows louder and louder in my ears. And the door behind me falls open. I stumble backwards into the unknown through the door and watch in cold shock as the monster tries to run. It is met with a heavy door slamming shut in its face. And Laura appears behind me, rushing forwards to slide the door's bolt back into place. She turns to me and grabs my face in her hands as the monster shrieks and thuds behind the door.
"Are you okay?"
she asks, and I nod, bewildered.
"Okay, then come on, let's get out of here."
She grabs my hand and leads me to a set of nearby stairs. Up we go and back into the dim, grey factory light. Cordes is there and he nods at me.
"You were stupid to run," he says, looking over my shoulder, his camera held tightly in his hands. "But for real, I think you guys were right after all. It's time for you to go. Come on, let's head back through the way you came."
I struggle to speak. I can't get the image of the monster on the level below out of my head. The image of its tortured, shambling body, its hanging jaw, and those strings that caught in the light. We reach the hall with the holes in the ceiling, the hall with a thin layer of snow and streams of silvery light. And, as if in slow motion, Cordes draws to a gradual halt. He turns to face us, and my eyes drift down as he reaches into his pocket. He pauses, looking us both over, and his eyes meet mine. The tension grows until it breaks with a quick, sad sigh. Cordes steps aside. I do not quite understand the significance of what is happening here, but I am flooded with a curious relief.
"You both know the way out," he says quietly. "You do well not to come here again."
"Thank you, mate," I manage to mutter. And out we go. Laura and I run through the hall. I shoot one last look behind me before we push through the doors and return through the room full of machinery, back through the dusty lobby and back into the world outside. We don't screw around and are back in the car and heading home within minutes, leaving the factory behind us. I caught sight of something else, you know, as we were leaving. When I turned to look back that one last time, caught in the silvery light from above and attached to Cordes's joints, were a series of strings, taut and wiry and pulled up high into the shadows above and all around. I watched as the strings on his head were pulled and he turned to look at us leave. I heard the soft, sad clanking of cogs from his body, saw the stretching of strings on his arms as he adjusted his camera, and I saw the shadow pass across his face as he vanished from view, and the ancient door clanked shut. I still dream of that factory sometimes. Laura's are worse. I can hear her in her sleep, mumbling, terrified. I have to wake her up to keep her from becoming trapped in her nightmares. And sometimes, some nights, she swears she can feel something tugging at her joints, something unseen in the darkness, trying to draw her out of bed and away.